This is research news from UIC, the University of Illinois at Chicago. Today, Dr. Saul Wiener, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Internal Medicine, talks about a case study of three healthcare institutions with different ownership models that found self-pay patients must navigate a system that provides no guarantees that medical centers will follow their own policies for providing uncompensated care. Here's Professor Wiener.
As most people now know in the States, the uninsured have become a major issue for people in politics, in government. We have somewhere on the range of 44 to 46 million Americans now who don't have any health insurance. And as the political cycle heats up, there's a lot of interest in what we're going to do about these people. And one of my research interests has been looking at what's actually happening to them. There's already excellent data that being uninsured is a bad thing. The people who are uninsured basically end up getting less care. We know that they have poor outcomes on a number of measures, and we know that they're less likely to seek care when they need it. But my own particular interest was in looking at what happens when people who don't have health insurance actually try to get it, and more specifically, what institutions do with these folks. And so the study that I completed recently is titled Managing the Unmanaged, a case study of intra-institutional determinants of uncompensated care at healthcare institutions with differing ownership models. So there were a couple of key words here. One is managing the unmanaged. And that phrase really alludes to the idea that everybody else who seeks health insurance pretty much knows, at least in the broadest terms, what to expect. They know they're covered for this and not covered for that. And the folks who are going to take care of them pretty much know that they're going to get paid for this and they're not going to get paid for that. But when people don't have health insurance, there's obviously a big question about whether they'll be seen, whether they'll be turned away, if they get care, what they're going to have to pay, what's going to happen if they don't pay. So it's a very stressful situation for people. And we were interested in actually seeing what their experiences are and also what the institution's experiences are. So when we set up this study, we realized we had to really delve deeply into three institutions, a for-profit, a not-for-profit, and a public. And we had to do it from several different perspectives. We had to interview uninsured patients seeking care. We had to look at the policies and practices of the institutions as they're written. We had to see what they're really doing by talking to personnel. And then we had to look at their financial data for a whole year, really, and see what they're actually providing in the way of free care and what they're getting paid. And I think a few themes emerged from this that I think may be useful to people and just generally interesting. One is that there were some similarities across these three types of institutions, the so-called for-profit institution, the not-for-profit, and the public. At all of them, we basically found that they had policies, but no one really followed them too closely. There might be policies specifying that somebody should pay $60 if they don't have insurance just to see a doctor, and we found that a clerk might make them pay it or a clerk might waive them in anyway. And similarly, they might be told that if they didn't pay a bill, it would go to collection. We found that it might happen, it might not happen. Often it had to do with the willingness of the patient to negotiate, the willingness of the billing person to negotiate. And so there was just an enormous amount of variation, and that was really common to all of the sites. The major differences were also very interesting and significant. We found that the public institution was the most open to seeing patients in a variety of settings. By contrast, the for-profit institution would really only see patients in the emergency department, and this was very concrete. When you look at the financial data and you look at where patients are registered at these three sites, you find that at the for-profit, very few were seen outside of the emergency room setting. Only about 2% of their patients outside the emergency room setting were actually uninsured, whereas at the public institution was more like 12 or 13%. And at the not-for-profit, it was closer to the for-profit, actually, but just a little bit higher. So that was one thing that was really important. The other thing that was important was that the public institution, although it saw patients in a variety of diverse settings, worked really hard to get some money from these patients and actually was much more successful at collecting a percentage of charges than was the for-profit. One got the sense that the for-profit basically just took its losses, said, we'll just see these folks in the ED, we won't work too hard to get money from them, and so be it. And not surprisingly, the not-for-profit was sort of fell in between. On the one hand, they were willing to see patients in a diversity of settings, not as diverse as the public institution, in fact, much less diverse, but also that they were going to try a little bit harder to collect money than the for-profit did. And so that was really the pattern, and it's hard to generalize across other sites in the United States. We were just looking at three, of course, but the pattern sort of makes sense. It sort of makes sense that the public institution would see patients in a diversity of settings and then do its best to collect something from these folks. And by the way, the amount they collected did not make up for the greater volume. They actually ended up having greater net losses in caring for the uninsured than the for-profit or the not-for-profit. But they did a better job of getting some money. And on the other side, I said the for-profit institution really was focused on just providing minimal care. In terms of take-home messages, I think what we have to recognize is that in this country, the law states that you can't turn people away from an emergency department if you want to get Medicare dollars, which virtually all hospitals do. But other than that, there are really no expectations. We see, as a result, an enormous amount of variation across institutions, within institutions, and we see a complete lack of clarity about how these patients are going to get care, who's going to care for them, and what care they're going to receive. For the uninsured, it's a pretty capricious system. And actually, even for the healthcare providers, it's a tough payer group because you don't know the magnitude of losses that you're going to accrue. And particularly for institutions which have very narrow margins, where oftentimes they may be just one percentage point in the black or one percentage point in the red, to have to deal with this population where they would rather not be taking care of them, but do either because of a mission or a legal obligation. There is an equal lack of comfort about how to handle the uninsured. And I think that as we move forward in the political process, we have to recognize that this is essentially an unmanaged group. It's a group of people who don't know what they're going to get, who are getting care from a set of institutions that are uncomfortable and unsure of what it is they want to provide.
Dr. Saul Wiener is an associate professor in pediatrics and internal medicine. For more information about this research, go to www.news.uic.edu, click on News Releases, and look for the release dated August 25, 2008. This has been Research News from UIC, the University of Illinois at Chicago.